Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are joined by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, along with our own, very own, Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish from here, right here at CheeseheadTV.com. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, I will revel in the fact that Aaron was wrong and I was right, and later we'll be speaking with Arizona Cardinals All-Pro safety, a first for the show, Tyrann Mathieu. Obviously, we'll try to get him to spill as many secrets as possible, but right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
JC, left tackle Treader.
A little shaky early, but picking it up late.
And Mike Neal getting the forced fumble.
Forced fumble, strip sack, two sacks, all sorts of pressure. Big night for Mike Neal.
And we got the bad. We got first quarter offense.
11 yards. Seriously. 11 yards.
And we got the ugly. We got... Who do we got?
You know. You know.
Dan Snyder!
Come
on!
Do
you like that?
Dan, come on, buddy. Your stadium is atrocious. The mascot name for your team is racist. Dan Snyder, you are ugly. That's
Dan
it.
Snyder is ugly, but I like this towel here.
I guess so.
That's staying there.
You brought it back.
That's staying there through the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. Which the Packers are going to win, clearly.
Of course.
How was it, Corey? You were at the game.
It was awesome.
Take me through it. Okay, so you left to go to the game. You were there not even, like, you left that morning, right? You left Sunday morning?
Sunday morning, back Sunday night.
That's insanity.
Not even playing.
So what was your day? What was your itinerary? Take me through it.
I got in. I met right at the airport by Holly Phelps. Wonderful.
Hi, Holly Phelps. Who's probably listening to this tomorrow.
One of the earliest fans of this show.
Amen.
And we had a little brunch at the Farmers. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a Farmers
something
brunch place in D.C.
Right.
We took a stroll past the White House. We got accosted by a couple Secret Service agents who wanted to let us know that the Redskins were going to win.
Mm.
And
how'd that work out for them?
That was fun. And then I took the Metro all the way to Maryland, which is where the stadium is.
Right.
Had a lot of looks from the 40 or so Redskins
fans. Yeah, you
fans
tweeted about
me.
That one. Got a little live tweet action.
Well,
on
it was
that.
A little scary when you got like four huge guys and they're looking at you and they're laughing. And I'm
right.
like... I'm, like, slowly going to other doors down.
I'm just Mr. Go Pack Go, sir.
Then, met up with Mr. MD Packer fan Ian. Who,
nice, yes.
We tailgated, and Josh from Titletown Sound.
There you go.
And he had a bunch of Redskins fans, so we tailgated. Waited to drink some beer till I got in the stadium because I was a little bit nervous. Got in the stadium, sat in my seats, sat next to this.
Your seat, sir, was in prime viewing area.
Yeah.
We saw you on television.
Yeah, it was fucking.
Saw
good
you
times.
On the old TV.
It was good times. And I made this inside the NFL for those
I know.
Of you. The second, actually, I realized.
I love this.
The
yes,
second
it's so true.
Consecutive Packer playoff game.
Yep.
On inside the NFL.
That's right.
So maybe we can go for three this week.
Because you were featured for a few seconds in. The
yeah,
debacle
half of my
in
face.
Seattle.
Half of my face.
Your painted face.
Yeah.
And now a full version of you dancing.
It was good. I was surrounded by
in
Packer
the
fans. There weren't a
I
lot of Redskins
it.
Fans.
There you go.
I was on the side where when you're into the wind.
Right.
So there weren't a lot of touchdowns over
no.
there.
No.
But we there saw wasn't you. A lot of crazy stuff going on that side.
But we did
Most
see
Most happened on the other side.
Yeah.
But it was great. I mean, it was a great game.
It was a great game for Packers fans.
Got
no
doubt. Problems with that game.
No doubt. Now give it to me. Give it to me. I know you're waiting. I know you're dying.
Give
you've
what?
Been dying. Just go ahead. Whatever you got to say. Whatever
I
you, whatever
I
cathartic
I don't have any,
thing you need to get out.
I don't have any rants in me.
I see.
I have zero rants.
Zero rants, much like maybe the Packers. Well, you know, they won their playoff game, and now they're kind of content to be like, see, told you we could win a playoff game. Now they're going to go down to Arizona, get decimated.
Oh, I'll be in Arizona. I'm not going to allow them to be content.
There you go.
Don't you worry about that.
I love it. So your streak is going to stay alive. You're going to go down to Arizona.
Of course. I love it.
Arizona love
and then probably Carolina.
Or maybe Green Bay.
I've changed my thinking.
I was going to say, I'm a little disappointed in you in
this. Changed my thinking.
You've decided now that Seattle is not going to beat Carolina, but the Packers are still going to beat Arizona.
Of course.
And the Packers are going to march into Carolina and rip their hearts out in the NFC Championship game, much like we ripped their hearts out back in 96 in Lambeau.
There you go.
I'm all for that.
Here's what I don't want.
All right. Lay it on me.
I don't want to go to Lambeau. No matter what, I don't want to be 1-2 in the NFC Championship game.
In Lambeau. Right. I feel you.
And I know that's kind of like, kind of against my whole like mantra of hope.
Yeah, after everything that got like, you know, retweeted a million times last week about your rant about like you're a Packers fan no matter what. You don't want reality, et cetera.
And I am, but the worst.
But now you're getting a little bit of a dose of reality here.
No, it's not reality.
Okay.
It's remembering how I felt in 2007.
Okay, that's I buy that.
And it just does not feel good.
You know what does feel good, though?
What's that?
A little Wisco Disco back in the house.
Definitely glad.
Stillman Brewery, thank you. Here we go. Salud.
We went back to Dan Snyder for a second. Sorry about that.
When you are in Wisconsin, please make sure you check out Stillman Brewery in Green Bay. Get yourself some Wisco Disco. Served proudly at Lambeau Field. You cannot beat. Now, let me just say
this. You really can. It's really good.
Let me say this.
It's ridiculous.
If and when the Packers do end up in Lambeau for the NFC Championship game, make sure you grab yourself a Wisco Disco, take a picture of yourself, and tweet it to us because we love that.
But right now, you should be tweeting, I'm watching Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer, because you yourself could win a poster, a Packer Legends poster by the one and only
Packer Legends.
Comic book illustrator,
Legends.
Brent
Legends.
Schoonover.
Legends. It's hot stuff, people. You want it, you need it in your life. All right, we ready to take our medicine here? Ready to do, eat our vegetables?
Let's do what we got to do. Let's do it.
Time for Packers news. First up, I think the biggest headline of the day, got to be Sam Shields back on the field, taking all the reps in the jog-through portion of today's practice.
I like that.
Today being Wednesday, for those of you listening later on the podcast. Now, he still is in the concussion protocol, as per Mike McCarthy. Still not a full participant. But positive steps today, did everything in the jog through, hopeful. I mean, I saw on JS Online, they were writing, it's like a foregone conclusion now that he's going to play Saturday. I mean, like, okay, let's slow down a little bit. But, I mean, if that's what they're saying, cool. I'm all in. Great news on Sam Shields, just to even have him out there after missing a month due to this concussion suffered against Dallas. And I know a lot of people. I've got more and more people asking me about this. And look, I get it. It is frustrating. I promise you, no one is more frustrated than Sam Shields about him not being out there. But, you know, as rare as it may be, even in today's hyper-sensitive NFL, in regards to head injuries, it is not completely unheard of. I mean, Luke Kuechly missed over 30 days at the beginning of the year after suffering a concussion in week one. The teams are just getting smarter about it, and there's nothing wrong with that, and that's a good thing. I know we all want our best players out there, and Sam Shields is definitely one of their best players, but I am much happier knowing that the Packers are being completely safe with, you know, a guy who, you know, this is his livelihood, but someday that livelihood is going to end. He's got to live with everything that happened to him during his livelihood, and the Packers are, you know, helping in that regard rather than hurrying him back out there and making things worse.
Yep.
So I'm all for it. I know it's frustrating. Speaking of frustrating, David Bakhtiari. He also participated, though not as much as Sam Shields today. Still very limited. Still feels very 50-50 on Bakhtiari. I don't know. We'll see as the week goes on, obviously, how much he responds. But, you got to feel a little bit more confident because of the way you saw J.C. Treader play later in the game. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Jerone Elliott back at practice for the first time in 3 weeks.
Good stuff.
He's had a nasty little thigh injury. The guy, and I know, we kind of remember the great plays he's made against Seattle earlier this year, some of the big sacks he's had throughout his short time here in Green Bay. But to me, this is a great boost if he's able to play for the special teams. I mean, I think, Jeff Janis is kind of taking on the mantle, obviously, of
the great gunner, so to speak. But people forget Elliott, he's a heat-seeking missile on special teams. Mm-hmm. Like he's a really valuable part of that kind of unit. So good to see him back out there. Hopefully, we get better news as the week goes on. In fact, speaking of better news, much healthier team this week than we saw last week. Only two players did not participate in Wednesday's practice. That would be Davante Adams, who's dealing with a knee injury. Rollins has a thigh injury. That stinks.
Rollins had a really good game.
He was having a very good game prior to getting hurt. Hopefully he can work through that and participate on Saturday night, but again, we'll see. Speaking of Saturday night, speaking of the foes that they will be facing, Arizona signed Jason Babin off the scrap heap of the free agent market, a pass rushing specialist. He's actually got a few sacks this year with other teams, but now he's going to try and help Arizona. They're signing him because they placed Alex Okafor on the non-football injury list. The linebacker apparently hurt himself during their week off. How are you going to get fired on your day off? No, but he hurt himself during the bye week, and Bruce Arians wouldn't say why. I said you have to talk to Alex. So obviously Alex did something stupid and hurt himself, so he can't play. And they also placed Corey Redding on injured reserve.
I don't know who either of those people are.
Corey Redding is a defensive end who really caused a lot of problems last time we faced them. So it's good. That's a good development for the Packers.
Like that.
It's a good development for the Packers. Okafor, he's not a star by any means, but he's a solid part of their defensive unit. So anything that weakens them, it's a good thing for the Packers.
Let me ask you this.
Positive development.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Where do you rank the Arizona defensive line as far as NFC teams in the playoffs?
The remaining in the playoffs?
Yes.
So Packers,
Carolina, Seattle,
Arizona.
Yeah. The number one?
No. I think Calais Campbell is probably the best singular player on the defensive line left.
Is their defensive line better than our defensive line? Because I think our defensive line is pretty damn good.
Strictly defensive line or defensive front?
Defensive front.
I don't know. I'd probably pick the Packers, and I'm probably being a little bit of a homer right there. But
gotcha.
But with the losing Redding, the Cardinals have to blitz. They have to blitz. Like the Packers have shown
a couple times
last week, especially they can get home with four if they catch them in the right look, like the right matchup.
Yeah.
They've been able to do that. Arizona has to blitz, and the only way they win one on ones, like you've seen them bring Dwight Freeney off the. We saw it against the Packers a couple weeks ago. They bring Dwight Freeney off the bench when they're up by a lot. And they've done this continuously. They did it earlier this year against a bunch of teams where they get ahead. Their offense gets them ahead by two or three scores, forces teams into a got-to-throw-it-to-catch-up mode, and then Freeney just goes to town. He's brought this spin move out of retirement and just destroying guys, whether young or old. He did it against the Ravens, did it against the Vikings, did it against the Packers. Like, people get behind, and they just have to throw, and Freeney gets these tackles on an island and just destroys them. But that's a very special case. If the game, like, at the beginning of the game, when the run and pass are both in phase, like, you just run at Freeney, and he's neutralized. Like, he's not a complete player at this point in his career at all. I'd probably take the Packers for defensive fronts.
Well, if they have to blitz to get to us, doesn't that play in our favor?
It does. The problem is last time they didn't have to blitz so much because our offensive line was so terrible. Because, we were running two backup tackles out there. You had Josh Walker playing right tackle for the first time ever in his life. I mean, yeah, you don't have to blitz then. So we'll see. We'll see. That's the biggest. As one of our very newest contributors wrote today on the old CheeseheadTV.com, the offensive line will probably tell the tale of this game.
We know that. We've been saying that for 11 weeks.
Yep.
So, yes. Mm-hmm. But now I just feel like, maybe we're in this, I don't know. I do not see our offense going backwards from the last three quarters of that football game. I watched the game again last night.
Right. Which you never do,
by the way.
Which
I never do.
Corey did tape study, ladies and gentlemen. that's where we're living
right
now.
Playoff games are fun to do that with, though.
Yeah, they are.
But if you watch pretty much from Mike Neal's strip,
right.
Okay, which I know has nothing to do with the offense, but if you just use
that's the line of demarcation, right.
Fumble as a line in the sand.
Yeah.
Pretty much from that point on, the offense was just rolling.
Yep.
And that
I would agree.
You just can't. I can't see that. I can't see that just stopping again.
Well, here's the issue. We all know, and I know you know this, Like the Washington secondary, you know, in addition to being down three men, basically, is not very good, right? Arizona, while they may have to blitz to get to the quarterback, also have Patrick Peterson, who's having not only his best, you know, year as a pro, but he's completely neutralizing people.
We have a secret weapon in the backfield.
We have Randall Cobb.
His name is Randall Cobb.
Well, since Randall Cobb can't beat Patrick Peterson out on a route, might as well use him in the backfield. I'm down with that. I am totally down with that. It was impressive how Cobb was running from base formations.
I mean,
like, he ran the ball with John Kuhn in front of him. Like, so riddle me this. And this is my one little nitpick with this. So you give Randall Cobb a bunch of carries with John Kuhn, but you run Eddie Lacy out of the shotgun and, like, solo. Come on. Can Eddie ever get some love?
He had
I know,
one
and he had some great runs. I get that. It's just frustrating
for me.
He had
the best run in the game.
Yeah, on the first and 10 out of the eye formation.
The crazy cutback.
And what's funny is that the play before that, the fourth down that he converted, he almost busted that one wide open. The guy just catches his feet at the last second and trips him up. Otherwise, that one's gone down the left sideline. So he had two really great runs, like right back to back. What are you looking at the chat?
We're not on defense yet, but Alan just said something that really annoyed me. So,
oh dear,
Joe Thomas, I thought was not that good. There's one play in particular.
He's kind of like a puppy dog out there.
There's one play in particular. It was third and six.
Right.
Okay. And they threw it in the flat. And all Joe Thomas has to do is tackle him, and he's got him for a loss.
Right.
And he just can't go through the guy. It's just like anybody else. Quentin Rollins would have been there. Demarius Randall would have been there. Clay Matthews. Even Jake Ryan.
Somebody with instant quickness.
Just all you have to do, and you stop the play. Now, our defense, I thought we're getting to defense later. I mean, our defense this year is the difference this season.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
They have given our offense so many opportunities.
It's kind of ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's kind of ridiculous. You know, but it's not like the defense can say much. It's like, I'm sorry, we carried the team for how long? Sorry, you got to spend 1 year trying to help out, you know? Like, it's not like the defense has much of a leg to stand on if they want to complain.
It's true.
Which I know they're not. I'm just saying. So shall we hit the offense?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do a speed dating version? As we were just talking about, the excellent work up front led the resurgence in Washington. The job the offensive line did can't be overstated. J.C. Treader, obviously, we'll go right to Treader. Treader settled in nicely. Obviously, everyone saw the safety. He got bull rushed back there a little bit. You know, Rodgers is not complete without fault on that play. Like, he's got to get the ball out of his hand. There's a seam there up the middle that he could have thrown, you know, something into a tight window. He chose not to. You see him look right at it, and then he chooses not to. He tries to find something else, and that's when he gets hit. That's partly on Rodgers. But at the same time, you know, Treader's got to anchor, etc. But after that kind of sequence, you know, Treader settled in very nicely. Now, all of that said, people, I know our own Corey Jennerjohn wrote about this week, about how all of a sudden J.C. Treader is the left tackle. Slow down.
Oh, yeah.
Just take a deep breath.
Now,
David Bakhtiari is the left tackle, and he's going to be the left tackle. So just relax. They need
Bakhtiari
back.
Whether he plays Settlers of Catan or not.
What he needs to be out there. Whether he plays Halo or not. He needs to be out there. All right. So,
I mean, if we get David Bakhtiari back, we have.
I love our chances.
We have the line we had in the beginning of the season.
Yeah. I'm down with that. Finally.
That was a line that produced 6-0.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
I know.
Lest we let the last 11 weeks get too much in our heads.
All right. Let's talk about getting in our heads. There was a guy who got in everybody's head in that last game, including most of the guys up front, and that's Calais Campbell, the defensive end for the Arizona Cardinals, defensive tackle, however you want to classify him.
Wait, you have to stop. Did you just say you love our chances?
I like our chances, I said.
I think you said you love our chances.
I like.
Are you sure?
Rewind the DVR.
We need to go back to the tape.
I like our chances.
Okay. Just people were calling you out in the chat. They were like very surprised by that. By you
saying
that.
I like our chances. I still think we're going to lose, but
I mean,
our chances.
You have to at this point.
Well, yeah. I said 3 weeks ago, I'm not going to pick him again for the rest of the year.
Exactly.
I'm sticking right by
that.
Okay, wait. Can I just put this out here? I do love how I...
Josh Johnson says you said love.
Okay, cool. I love our chances. Okay, great.
All right.
Fine.
We've got him further on the line, people.
Still think they're going to lose. But
here's the thing. It's like,
no.
Well, it's like why I can't wear makeup this weekend. Like, I have to stick now with my thing.
Right, exactly. Because you didn't last week. All right, but here's my thing. All right, everyone loves to throw it back on my face when Redskins come back and blow the thing and the Packers all of a sudden get on track and they look great and blah, 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 blah. Great. Awesome. I'm really happy. I'm really excited. I had a joy watching the game. I was surrounded by Redskins fans. It was awesome to put it in their face. Great. Great time. Funny how I get a whole like deluge of tweets about how like, oh, no, you're so wrong, blah, blah, blah. Great. Awesome. I'm wrong. Great. It's happened before. It's not going to happen again. Curious how everyone was so, all those people who tweeted me this week were so quiet when I was right about the Packers losing to Minnesota. So funny how when I said they were going to lose to the Vikings and then they lost to the Vikings, no one said a word. Curious. Very curious. It's just funny how people
now you're
kind of
acting like the guy from Packer Report.
They just like pick and choose their little ooh, gotcha, ooh. Yeah, but you didn't get me last week, but you didn't want to talk about that, did you? Because I was right.
Michael Klink says he tweeted that everyone should take it easy on you.
Yeah, please. Don't take it easy. Bring it. Bring it. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. It's
I mean,
all good. It's
here's
just
the thing.
Funny.
Like, as much as you say as much as you think the Packers are going to lose, you do not want them to lose.
No,
that's what people
exactly.
Don't get. Like,
I was to quote
you.
This is my favorite bit.
To gain
Wait,
by
this
the
is
Packers
this
losing.
Is my favorite. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, just for business, it's good. But here's the thing. Like, to quote you from last week. This is my favorite bit. We want them to win. We do not want them to lose. I love that. Anyway, yeah. No,
the only problem I had with
win.
My rant last week is when I was saying okay so many times. I got to get rid of that. But other than that,
you were
I
passionate.
It.
You were in the moment. It's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't have that in me this week.
I know, because you're complacent now.
Well, and I think I've also unfollowed everybody that annoys the shit out of me.
I don't doubt it.
I think I've trimmed that down.
So you've got like just a wash of positivity.
And this last game,
right.
There is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you can be mad about
is the first quarter offense.
And Masté.
Oh, dude. You had to say it. God, he's been bad.
He's terrible.
He's been so bad.
What is wrong with him? He finally woke up a little bit after he got ran over in the third quarter.
Right. But people want to say, well, he was going against the wind early. Yeah, great. But he wasn't going against the wind in the second and fourth quarters, and he still wasn't very good. Like, dude has fallen off, dude. Badly.
He really has.
Badly.
In the last, if you look at.
Badly.
I mean, the only person that can really know this, there's two people.
Rob Demovsky.
And Brian Caravu can tell you if he's been on a downward slope. And I'm surprised because I really do feel like he's been on a downward slope this season.
He totally has.
And I'm surprised that Demovsky hasn't written an article about it. Maybe I just missed
it. He probably will. He will in the offseason. But you know how it is during the year. Like, you're caught up. You're going. Especially when you're working for the worldwide leader. You got like.
I mean, he's so bad. He's giving them 20 yards
that
they
have
no business having.
That's the other thing. It puts it's constantly putting the defense in a bad position.
Which was the entire first quarter, by the way. The entire first quarter, we were behind the 20, and they were between the 30 and the 40.
Because, okay, so they kept kicking to us, and they kept pinning us deep, and the offense couldn't do jack. And it's like, okay, now, Masté, we need a big booming kick. And he never could give them one. So, all right.
Okay, let's get back to
the offense. We got 5 minutes here. Rodgers, Aaron, quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, QB1. Still missing too many throws.
Ooh, that one throw. I said Jones earlier,
still
but it's not Jones.
Missing.
It was Cobb, right?
Yeah, to Cobb.
Ooh, that was bad. He was wide open. And he hit Devontae later on something similar.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Corner in the end zone.
Just misses.
Just way too many throws off
but
his
also,
back foot.
But also, looking back, James Jones. Okay, let's just talk about this for two seconds.
You said this
before
the show, and I agree with this. This is good.
So you tweeted out a Vine of James Jones just totally not caring about blocking.
Yep.
Like, he's like, oh, I have to block a guy? Nah, not going to do it.
Yeah.
Then there's a couple plays where, the ball's a little off, but if he just fights for the ball, like, it just, I feel like he takes off 40% of his plays. I really do.
Yeah.
And you watch back on the tape and you can kind of find places where you're like, James Jones, what are you doing?
James Jones, what are you doing?
Like, he is the number one receiver by default.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's the one guy Rodgers trusts. But then, like, that's the thing. Like, there's a broken play where he gets Blackman to kind of stop his feet. And then all of a sudden he takes off up the middle. Rodgers finds him late for like a 30-yarder
over
the middle.
Great
play. And they desperately
needed
it. And all the comebacks that he catches, and it's great. They desperately need it. But, like, then there are a handful, probably 12 or 13 plays a game, where where he just looks like he's loafing.
And I just don't get it in the playoffs.
And you know,
like, how do you give less
playoffs?
Than 125% in the playoffs?
And then you know who used to like drive?
You only have 40 plays you're going to play in the whole game.
Jimmy Robinson used to kill him for that stuff. Just used to drive him. The old wide receivers coach used to just destroy him for that stuff. And I think that's part of what made the Packers wide receivers so good for so long is because like guys like Jimmy Robinson and Edgar Bennett were getting on their ass.
They never gave
and now
up.
Now they don't have a guy like that, you know?
I mean, they still have Edgar Bennett.
Yeah, but he's their offensive coordinator. He's not their position coach. They don't have a position. They have like Van Pelt overseeing quarterbacks and wide receivers.
And of all the people, Edgar Bennett never gave up on a play.
No, no.
He was the definition of a workhorse. He's not as talented as Starks or Lacy.
No, no, no.
And he basically willed himself to be the runner that he was.
He had the want to. All right, speaking of want to, Rodgers, yes, he's missing on throws. But here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers that I was so impressed with on Sunday. He was so bad early. I mean, he was bad early. But then when he started catching Washington with the hurry up.
Oh, yeah.
And too many men. He used that to get himself in rhythm. It's amazing. It's like kind of the same way he used cadence against Seattle in week two versus Washington. He used the hurry up and the flags that resulted from the hurry up as his, okay, I'm going to like fire this in there no matter what, which he never does, what he rarely does if it's a regular play. But because it's a free play and he knows there are no consequences, if I throw an interception, I throw an interception, yeah. It doesn't count. He just started throwing lasers and that got him into rhythm. And it was great.
Well, it goes.
And once that happened, that's when the offense took off.
I'm going to make a really funny metaphor.
All right.
And it's something that I say in my business.
Oh boy.
So my business is live streaming, right?
Yep.
Now, the fact that I do this show, I actually attribute to why I'm so successful. Hmm. Because, for instance, if we screw up,
yeah,
us? I don't care.
Never. What are you talking about?
Like,
yeah.
That's the it's
exactly.
The same thing. It's like
yeah.
It's a throwaway play.
It's a free
this
play.
This is a throwaway show.
The show is free show. It's a free show. Free play.
This show, the defense is offsides,
and
we
can just,
come do
we
whatever
can
chuck the
it
hell
down
we
field.
Want. Just chuck
just
it down
chuck
the field,
it down
and
field.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
But that frees you
yes.
To be yourself.
To do what you got to do.
And just have fun and do
yeah.
The thing. And so
exactly.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
But I will say, who else goes into somebody else's stadium.
I know, right?
And completely disrupts their fans.
And completely
like that.
Discombobulates the entire operation of the opposing team.
How un-Gruden is that?
Okay? I know, right?
To
oh my God, it's so funny.
Okay.
How many not practice it?
How many times?
It's only on tape like every week.
How many times does a guy have to burn you before you stop replacing personnel?
Well, and that's the thing.
Like, stop getting cute, Gruden. Like, play football.
My favorite was Gruden trying to call the timeout, and then, like, they snap the ball. And I found it earlier this week. One of their defensive linemen tries to call a timeout after the ball has been snapped. It was actually on the
yeah.
play. It was on the play where Rodgers threw the touchdown
yeah,
to Cobb.
Yeah. He's like,
literally, he snaps the ball, and the dude
there.
Stands up. And TJ Lang is just sitting there going, okay. And dude is trying to call timeout as the play is going
yeah, that's
on.
That's really funny.
That is, like, it's got to be one of the best
moments.
Well,
and then they're
the
so
year.
Mad. Gruden's like, I tried to call a timeout.
I know,
it's
right?
Like, dude.
Awesome.
Really?
We didn't see you. Touchdown. I love it.
Well, and then the NFL came out and said that, you know,
somebody was moving.
Corliss,
fine,
I think it was,
whatever.
Had an illegal shift on one
oh,
of those.
Oh, no. You know? Yeah. Well, try talking to the team who, you know, was a victim of a fail Mary. Oh, that's us. Right. Okay. All right. We got to call
we
our
have
guest.
One more thing, though.
Well, it's time for Aberderis to shine. We all know this. Devontae Adams most likely will not play on Saturday night. It is time for Jared Aberderis. Had a few nice plays. Obviously, everyone remembers the shimmy at the goal line for the two-point conversion. Had a few other nice plays. He had one drop, which I love. The moment he dropped it, I got a tweet from some Yahoo who has a picture of a Super Bowl ring, not his real name up there, like totally anonymous. He goes, oh, how's that Aberderis praise working out for you? Funny how he was quiet the rest of the game when Aberderis was doing well, but, you know, that one bad play. Dudes, Aberderis is here. He's going to shine.
I do think it's his time. I will say it is, and, you know, there's so much hate for Devontae Adams, and I just feel like
he was starting to put it together.
He really was having this game where you were starting to see how He is more talented than any other wide receiver besides Randall Cobb on our team, and he has that talent inside of him.
The last 2 weeks, he was definitely starting to put it together. And Rusty, to your question, I think you'll see probably a lot fewer kind of three wide receiver sets, but when they do go three wide receiver sets, I think you'll see Abby out on the boundary. I think they want it. They definitely want to keep Cobb in the middle, in the slot. All right, let's call our guest. And for those of you who don't know, our guest tonight will be Tyrann Mathieu. If he picks up the phone, all-pro safety for the Arizona Cardinals, has agreed for whatever reason to come on our show. Thought since they're playing the, those Cardinals, we'll give him a call, see if he picks up. Oh, this is classic transplants right here.
Oh, yeah. Got to wait for it.
So you never know. He could Larry V us. He's probably going to Larry V us. It's not looking good. Not looking great.
Hello?
Hi, Tyrann. It's Aaron Nagler. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing all right. Thanks a lot for, for picking up the phone, B, for coming on the show.
No problem, anytime.
Let's start things off with, you were just named an all-pro, Congrats on that. Is that kind of like one of the kind of pelts on the wall that you were looking for in your NFL career?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you can make a list full of guys that, contribute well to their team and, contribute much success to their team, definitely grateful to be on that list. So many guys get overlooked every year. So anytime you get put on a list like that, it's humbling. It definitely makes you grateful.
Speaking of grateful, we're all grateful for getting to watch you play football. It's I got to tell you, I love good football players. You are one of the better football players I've seen in my life. Love watching you play. Hate that you're not out there. How is your right knee doing? I know you suffered the ACL injury against Philadelphia earlier this year.
Yeah, I'm in great spirits, man. Suffering another knee injury. Not being able to be out there with my teammates, it sucks. But just thinking back on this season, really felt like I played my best football. Before my injury, just making plays and like I said, just helping my teammates out, trying to win. I think that's what it's really all about.
Now, obviously, you suffered that injury right before you were going to play the Packers, which pissed me off because I was looking forward to having you out there and seeing you go against my squad. But what did you see standing on the sidelines and then maybe looking at the tape later on? Obviously, things snowballed against the Packers in that game. You guys played really well, clearly. What did you see standing on the sidelines? Did it kind of go the way you thought it would in regards to what the defensive game plan was going into that game?
Well, I thought those guys started fast. Anytime you play any team in this league, the biggest thing is to start fast and to play with that high level and that high intensity. And I felt like we made all the plays early on in the game, and the momentum kind of just stayed with us throughout the game. And, I thought those guys played well. But the Packers are definitely a better team than what they, displayed a couple weeks ago. So, I know those guys are prepared. I actually went out to practice today. Those guys practiced hard today. So I know those guys are prepared better, harder, because they know that they're facing a different Packers team.
Is Bruce Arians as kick-ass to play for as it appears? Because that guy, he's the kind of guy you want coaching your team if you're a fan. I can't imagine as a player how much fun he must be to play for.
Oh, man, he's so fun because, he's so honest with you. You're dealing with someone that keeps it real with you, man, it just makes you want to play that much harder for him. And obviously, he's a great guy. He's a hell of a coach. He gels with everyone well. We're great to have him.
Well, he seems to, have definitely taken, he definitely has fondness for you because he seemed to get very emotional when he announced that you would be out for the rest of the year with the knee injury. How does it feel to have a coach who's really kind of personally, if not professionally, really kind of got your back and gone to bat for you like that?
Yeah, like I said, man, it makes you feel comfortable. When you're dealing with honest people, like I said, people that keep it real. Me and Coach, we share a tight bond. over the years. Obviously, you know, he gave me a second chance to play football again, and you know, we gelled really well and really formed a bond. And you know, I think that's really where that came from. And you know, but I'm definitely rooting for Coach. I know he's going to bring his you know, his offensive genius this weekend, and hopefully get us another win.
Hopefully not.
That's Corey. That's Corey. Corey, it's talking about keeping it real. Corey keeps it real. speaking of keeping it real, I couldn't help but notice there, Tyron, on the old Twitter the other day when I was watching the Seahawks-Vikings game. I mentioned, because this pisses me off every time I see it, I mentioned that Russell Wilson gets away with more bullshit throws that don't get called for intentional grounding. And I saw you. I saw you looking at the tweet. I saw you. Yeah. I saw you hit favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a football junkie, man. You know, I love football, man. I love watching football. I love everything about it. You know, I love watching other guys play. I love competing against other guys. But you know, I play against him twice a year. You know, he's in my division, so I couldn't help but notice the tweet. Obviously, I follow him, but I couldn't help but notice it and laugh.
Yeah. We'll leave it there. I hear you. Seeing how, getting back to the Packers real quick, seeing how, watching what the Packers did in Washington, kind of seeing their offense maybe kind of start to figure things out, you saw how the hurry-up offense really kind of helped jumpstart their offensive attack. How do you combat that as a defender, or as a defense? What are the things that you guys can do to try and counter that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, just getting lined up, man. You know, I think last week they kind of ran that tempo offense, and, you know, I think it kind of caught the Redskins by surprise. So, you know, the biggest thing is to just get lined up and just make the plays that come to you. Don't try to make every play. You know, you deal with a quarterback that, you know, he's probably the best in the NFL, and, you know, he's going to make every throw. So, you know, don't try to make every play. Just make the ones that come to you. And, just try to play as fundamentally sound as you can, and, you know, just try to win the game from the neck up.
We're talking to Tyron Matthew, all-pro safety for the Arizona Cardinals. Tyron, I got to say, man, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. It's amazing that you've taken the time at all. Thank you so much. And I do have to say this because I'm such a huge fan, as you know. I have told you several times. What I love about you is your story. You mentioned it earlier about getting a second chance to play football, a game you love. And I got to tell you, it's amazing to me that you're on this show now that, you know, we cover the Packers. We talk about the Packers every week. There was a time back when you were coming out, and there were all sorts of stories about you had missed meetings with teams and all this stuff. And someone asked me on Twitter, you can do a search and you can find this, do you want the Packers to take a chance on Tyron Matthew? And I said, hell no. Absolutely not. Yeah. And, dude, you have proven me 1,000,000,000% wrong, and I love it.
Yeah.
You are a success story. You are an inspiration, and I love watching you play.
I appreciate that, man. Definitely means a lot to me.
Dude, thank you so much. Good luck with your rehab this offseason. Congrats on the Pro Bowl and being named an All-Pro. You know, good luck. I hope you can start your offseason after next Saturday, but good luck with whatever happens.
I appreciate that, fellas. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Have a great night, man.
All right, no problem.
So there you go. Tyron Matthew. It's hanging out here at Packer Transplants. And I mean it, man. I'm telling you, this kid, an amazing story, an amazing turnaround. If you don't know it, Google it, read about it. Just incredible. And now he's just killing it in the NFL. And I love it. I love it. He is such an inspiration. Great kid. Great story. Check it out.
We didn't ask his prediction.
Well, we don't need his prediction. We know what he was going to say. So you want to go to the defense?
Yeah?
You're on the defensive side of the ball? Packers defense?
I got something to show people real quick.
Oh, show it to them. Show the people, Corey.
I'm just feeling that right now.
Okay. For those of you listening later, that was Corey dancing in the stands.
Just had to have a little bit of that for a second.
At the Washington game. Gotta have it.
First
of all, we should talk about our friends at Legends of the Field.
Let's do it.
Because, you know, Legends of the Field, we've collaborated with them this season to give away autographed merchandise during the games, during the live blogs. If you get the chance, you really should check it out. It's a lot of fun. Tons of great Packer fans here at CheeseheadTV.com during the game from all over the world, really. I mean, there are people watching this show right now. It's 3 a.m. where they are.
Yeah.
That kind of blows my mind.
London.
But, you
Brazil.
Know.
Brazil.
Come to CheeseheadTV.com during the game. You can win great stuff from Legends of the Field, or go to legendsofthefield.com. They've got tons, just tons of amazing Packers memorabilia for every Packer fan out there.
They do.
Check it out.
I definitely am Dark Helmet in that.
You are a little Dark
Helmet.
It
is kind of funny.
You are. Hot, too hot.
Like when I first saw it.
Keep firing,
when I first
assholes.
Saw it, when I watch myself, I'm like, God, could I be any nerdier?
A little bit.
And then I'm like, no.
That's who you are, dude.
That's what it is. Yeah, defense time. Are you only going to be
ready,
on the chat? Okay.
You talk, Corey. You talk for a second.
I mean, if I'm going to talk about the defense, I'm going to talk about Mike Neal. Got to get my hats off to Mike Neal.
Yeah, hell yeah, Mike Neal.
Mike Daniels.
DJ
Raji. One thing that Jason Wilde said on his show today that I didn't realize was BJ Raji did not play against the Cardinals, and he's going to be playing.
Well, he started, but then he got hurt. He got the concussion.
But
it was very early.
It was early, right?
It was very early.
So having BJ Raji back
makes
a
difference.
big deal.
Okay, it is a big deal, but this all comes down to the offense. Like, the defense will be there and will do their job for as long as they are able to until things get out of hand.
If they can get to Carson Palmer,
which
Carson
they can.
Palmer.
They did last time.
Carson Palmer.
Early.
Let's just say this right now, okay? Yeah. Let's just say what it is.
Oh, boy.
Carson Palmer
get it all out there.
Is a little bitch, okay? He just is, okay? He cannot handle pressure. Dude. As soon as you pressure Carson Palmer, the game is over. He has proven this in his entire career.
All right.
Name one game, name one playoff game where it wasn't like everything is not perfect.
Right.
Three-step drop, five-step drop, seven-step drop, everything perfect. If it's not perfect, it's not doing for Carson Palmer.
Well, he's gotten hurt, which hasn't helped, famously against the Steelers.
Don't get all quiet. You know I'm right.
I'm okay. Has he been great in the playoffs? No, he has not. He's also not had this team around him. They're pretty good. But yes, I agree. Get to Carson Palmer early. That's all great. The offense has to produce.
Of course.
The defense got to Carson Palmer early last time for all the good it did. It doesn't do any good if you're going three and out.
It does you good if you get a forced fumble like we did in the Redskins game and turn the game around.
Sure, great. Fabulous. Wonderful. If the offense then throws an interception in the end zone, much like they did against Arizona last time, none of it's going to matter.
It's true, but we're talking about
all about the offense.
But we're talking about defense.
We are. The defensive front. Hey, look at this, Corey. Defensive front needs to set the tone early.
It's like we wrote a script.
It's like I wrote a script that read your mind. So... For a change, we are in total agreement. It is true, though, because the defensive front did a great job early on in that last game. They need to come out all guns a-blazing again. And it's not like they have to blitz heavily or anything like that, but they have to win. They have to work on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage. And if they can do that consistently early, they're going to have a chance to be disruptive, and they're going to have a chance to get Carson Palmer off the spot, and they're going to have a chance to cause a turnover or two. Like, that can happen. But again, it comes all back to the
Just FYI, Rusty.
Oh, dear.
Even Tim Mathay could beat me into the ground. There isn't an NFL player. There isn't any.
You could take Tim Mathay.
There isn't any.
You could take Tim.
There isn't any NFL position.
You could take the Ginger Wolverine. You could do it.
There isn't any NFL position where you'd be like, even in my 20s, where you'd be like, you'd be good at that. No. I am the water boy. You know,
we recognize this.
We recognize this.
There is no illusion here.
I am the architect of the website. Okay. I don't think you're going to see any NFL players.
Oh,
you know, I don't think when Derek Jeter started Players Tribune that he's like, I'm going to be the architect of the website. No, he's going to outsource that to a guy like me.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. He's going to call you. He's going to go on the Yellow Pages or whatever the internet equivalent of the Yellow Pages is these days. Facebook, probably.
Anyway.
There you go. All right.
Yes, Carson Palmer could take me, but that doesn't change
that
the fact.
That means zero in regards to what Corey just said.
Yeah.
Been a long time. It's been a long time since I rock and rolled, and it's been a long time since the defense could pin its ears back. Like, it was so great. One of the best things. Yes, it's wonderful that they were scoring points. It's wonderful to see the offense working. One of the best byproducts of the whole thing was getting to see the defense able to just pin their ears back and get after the quarterback.
That was good times.
And, they ran the ball a couple times for some yardage, but because the Packers were like, go ahead and run it for 8 yards. So what? We're up by 3 scores, dudes. Have a ball. Run the ball. Great. Wonderful. We're going to come. And then the next play, when you pass it, we're still going to pin our ears back and come after your quarterback.
Pretty much.
And that's where Dom's defense is at its best. And that's why it's so frustrating over the last 6 weeks where the offense has been able to do nothing and the defensive effort has just been wasted. And they haven't been able to kind of, you know, let the hounds loose, so to speak. And they were able to do that against Washington.
I think Dom is a genius.
Oh, so that's where we're at this week. Okay. Just wondering.
If you look at the defense this year.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He is a genius.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Like, everybody's like, oh, Dom, you has been. Oh, Dom, we don't like you. And literally, he's one of the top five defensive coordinators in the NFL.
I would
year
agree.
After year after year after year. And who has that consistency?
Not a lot of people.
You know, it's kind of going back and looking at, I was looking, you know, this whole, the Cleveland Browns, the poor Cleveland Browns, right?
Well, they hired Hugh Jackson today, I think is a good hire.
But you said it in the tweet. And also I've seen this thing where it's like, you look at the last 10 years, every team that has won the Super Bowl, their coach has coached for at least 5 years.
Exactly.
And the Browns haven't had a coach that's
for over 2 years.
For like 10 years.
It's amazing.
Which basically means you have forfeited your chance to
win
the Super Bowl.
You have punted on any chance you've ever had. That's what Haslam's done. I totally agree. That's why
it's
I said it today. If he gets
like,
out of the way,
that stat matters.
I know John Thornton, who's Hugh Jackson's agent, and I told John today, I was like, if Haslam actually gets out of Hugh's way and lets him do his job, I think they got a chance. But, you know, if Haslam does his crap where he's interfering and telling them who to draft and who to play, none of it matters. Anyway, okay, with Rollins out, most likely, not declaring him out yet. He hasn't been declared out yet,
Ooh.
But Rollins most likely out. It's time for Goodson and Gunter. G&G.
Gunter had a good game.
He did. Well, he did. The thing is, he had that nice breakup on third down, but if that's a better throw from Cousins, that's a completion. That's a third down conversion. However, he's playing outside leverage. He lets him go inside. He still makes a nice break on the ball. Still breaks it up. Better throw.
But it wasn't just that play.
I'm just saying that's the one play that people saw, you know, where it was obvious. Like, oh, look, Gunter made a play. But yeah, overall, I thought he held up well. I know... Speaking of,
I'm not sold on Demetri Goodson though.
No,
I just
I'm not either.
Like, isn't he just a body?
Yes, like, remember because he's an athlete and they like athletes and they think he's an athlete and they still think he can develop. I don't agree, but that's where we are. Remember way back in August when I was like Gunter like should be playing, and everyone laughed at me and he was always inactive and I was like blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Now you watch Goodson and you're like, oh yeah, Gunter definitely should be over Goodson.
I definitely was like, one of the people laughing at you.
Gunter should definitely be over Goodson.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
there's
for sure.
No doubt.
For sure.
That, you know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, he's good enough to be on the field. Like, he can play.
But Rollins, the thing about Rollins is, like,
he has
been coming up, and
he has definitely
ascended
this
year.
They played that trap, like, 3 or 4 times where it looks like cover 2, but then they come trap inside because they knew they were going to run that out to Reed or to Garcon. And one time, Hayward ran that trap, and it looked like Hayward was going to have a pick. And then Reed just barely brought it in with one hand. But Rollins was such a sure tackler in this game. It was great. He was like showed a real kind of proclivity for violence and like hitting, which I hadn't seen. Because let's face it, a couple times this year, he's looked like the guy who loves to throw himself at the ball carrier's feet as he's running by.
Yeah.
You know, not really trying to make a tackle. But in this game, he really showed like, and okay, speaking of guys.
I knew you were, as soon as you said running at guys' feet, I knew who you were going to go to.
But no. This, I don't think you know
maybe
where I'm
going
to go to. Because I got, this has been kind of
there's a
bubbling
play where
inside
you find
me.
That somebody just going at their feet. Who was that?
Oh, no. It was Hayward.
Yeah,
just,
Hayward.
But it was just his shoulder on Reed.
Why?
He's trying to disrupt it, blah, blah, blah. He's bigger, whatever. Just wrap him up and get him down. But no, where I'm going to with this is, you look at the development of somebody like Rollins. You look at Gunter coming off, an undrafted guy. You look at these guys playing well. I mean, they're playing rookies, multiple rookies secondary.
Multiple.
Shields has been out for how long? And they're counting on rookies. And the defense is playing well.
But speaking of rookies,
can Joe Witt get some love? The secondary coach? The cornerbacks coach? I mean, this guy.
I mean, but he's
is
been the secondary coach
forever.
Since 2009.
He's taken Sam Shields and made him into a starter He's got Casey Hayward playing out of his mind.
He had Tremont Williams. Another
undrafted guy. Like, when is this guy going to start getting, hey, you know what? Holy cow, this guy's doing some fucking amazing work.
I hope never.
I know, right? Because you never want him to leave.
Yeah, and I also, there has to be a point, right?
Right.
And it's either going to be this weekend or the weekend after, where Demarius Randle makes a play that blows our minds.
I hope so.
And I've been waiting for this moment.
I hope so.
I've been waiting for so long. I literally
did have
the
big play against San Diego.
When I'm at the game, right. I'm watching Demarius Randle.
Right.
Like, because I like to watch cornerbacks.
I know
that's kind
do.
Of my thing.
That's
and on
what
TV,
you, do.
You can't watch cornerbacks.
Not
it's
at all.
Very difficult.
I know.
They're not far enough on the shot.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to watch. Demarius Randle is going to have a play that is going to blow your mind.
I'm down.
Much
with it.
Like Sam Shields did in the NFC Championship game.
Oh, no. NFC Divisional game.
In the Chicago game, he had amazing play in the NFC Championship game.
I'm sorry. You're right. I'm thinking Tremont Williams in Atlanta.
Yeah, Tremont Williams in Atlanta. I was going to bring that up as the second one.
Got it.
So, but much like Sam Shields turned that game around.
Yep.
It was B.J. Raji in the end zone, and then later on in the game, they were driving down the field. Sam Shields said, no, excuse me.
No, sir.
Excuse me. But
no, sir. I must protest.
We're going to the Super Bowl, not you.
I love it. And then finally, Nick Perry and Mike Neal. Two guys who, let's face it, Packer fans, and don't even lie to me and tell me otherwise, most of you are like, okay, who's going to replace them next year? I mean, let's be honest here. Most of you are thinking, especially Nick Perry, who they didn't tender, and we've resigned him to the scrap heap of our mind. And then he comes up and has a whale of a game, beating Trent Williams, who's a good tackle, by the way. He beat Trent Williams silly for that sack.
I mean,
and how? And that's a really good left tackle, and he just beat him like it was nothing. And Mike Neal, the two sacks and the strip sack
was ridiculous.
I mean, these guys came to play, and we're going to need that effort down in Arizona. They need to make plays.
That's it, right?
Complementary plays.
The defensive front and the offensive line. And I know what every fool says this, right? But for us.
Yeah.
It gets everything going.
Absolutely. Totes agree. Okay, you ready? No. Ready for that thing?
I'm not ready for
that. Not ready for the thing? Should I kind of vamp?
I'm ready now. Oop, it didn't play.
Okay, maybe do the thing.
In the Packer blogosphere!
That's right. This week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, did you know that Cheesehead TV features many, many great writers?
Yes.
Well, we've added another one. That's right. We're really excited. Michelle Burton made her debut this afternoon on this here website. Check it out. It's about the offensive line. Green and Bold is the name of her column. It'll run every Wednesday here at cheeseheadtv.com. You may know Michelle from her work at Bleacher Report. She's actually a book editor by trade and a damn good one. She's a really good writer, too, and she knows her football. So follow her on Twitter. Check her out every week Wednesday here at cheeseheadtv.com. It's good stuff. She is thebomb.com. What do you got to say about that, Corey?
I like it.
We've been trying, full disclosure, we've been trying to get Michelle to write for us forever. Like, I asked her, I think 3 years ago.
Yeah,
but she was just too busy.
But Jersey Al
too
is
cool.
Way more relentless
than
you.
Jersey Al is dogged in his pursuit of the truth.
Jersey Al.
And Michelle is the truth.
The thing about Jersey Al, he will wear you down. And I say that in the best way because I love the man.
Yep.
He will wear you down. He doesn't care about your problems.
Nope. You don't take no as an answer either.
Nope. He is Jersey L.
Do you need a minute? He doesn't care. You got stuff going on? I'm sorry, but you need to deal with this.
Yeah, you need to deal with this. I love it.
Jersey
L. I mean, that's how I am deep in my heart.
I know.
So I never get mad at it.
No.
But yeah.
But damn, he's coming at you. And he clearly just would not give up.
He should be like Dom's assistant.
Absolutely.
Maybe he should be like Joe Witt's
assistant. Or a kicking specialist. Help out Mastay.
He needs help.
I mean, he clearly helped out Mason Crosby with all that negative reinforcement. So, you know, got to start working on Mastay there, Al. All right, so there we go. You got anything else? We good to go? You just want to read the chat live here on the air for a while?
No, I don't have a rant in me.
I know. That's what I mean. You've gone complacent.
No, I haven't
gone
complacent.
You spent it all on the wild card round, and now you got nothing left.
No, I haven't gone complacent.
You fired your gun empty.
No.
And you've got no more bullets.
Slow down.
I know, dude. I feel you.
I haven't
gone complacent.
I understand
how it is.
Okay?
Yeah, you have.
I'm going to
Arizona. You're
happy
they won a playoff game.
I'm going to
Arizona.
You're going to Arizona
for ceremonial reasons because you have to.
No.
Like, I get it,
I'm going because I believe, okay? I put my money where my mouth is.
You don't believe.
I'm going to Phoenix. I'm going to hang out in downtown Phoenix on Friday night.
Let me tell you, that's a lonely existence.
We're going to get...
Having done that last year.
I'm going to be with my GF.
All right.
We're going to meet up with Heather and Lambeau Joe.
Cool.
Maybe Matt Tricks. Do some old school stuff.
Matt Tricks?
Matt Tricks.
What's up, Matt Tricks?
He actually DM'd me.
That's awesome.
And then I'm going to have a tailgate. I don't know what lot I'm in yet, but we're going to have a tailgate.
Awesome.
So we're going to do it up.
That's
a fun
stadium,
getting a
too.
Parking
Let
pass.
Me tell you, that stadium doesn't have a lot
I ain't playing around, son.
That stadium doesn't have a lot of ambiance, but... It is a really cool stadium. Like, once you get inside and you're, like, around the stuff, it's, like, cool. But
you know what's going to be even cooler?
When the Packers win?
Yeah, when it's a blowout.
I'd love that. Don't see it happening, but I'd love that. I'd love it.
I want a blowout.
Me too. In the worst way.
I want a blowout, and then there's I'm of two minds of who I want to win on Sunday.
Right.
And I just don't know. Part of me wants redemption for last year.
Well, against Seattle.
And part of me wants to prove that we can beat Carolina because I was in Carolina.
Right.
And we almost won that game.
Well, that's another form of redemption. I mean, we could go.
And that's the best redemption.
We could go on a redemption march here.
But that's the best redemption because Seattle lost in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
But Carolina is the best team in the NFL.
No question.
No one can say there is a better team in the NFL. So if we can go to the best team in the NFL's house.
Hey, let's be clear
here. Kick their ass.
Probably the two best teams in the NFL. Go to Arizona. Beat their ass. Go to Carolina.
But is
beat
Arizona
their ass.
Better than New England? I don't know. But I know Carolina
right
is better
now,
than
I
New
would
England.
Say yeah, probably.
I know Carolina is better than New England.
Okay.
Like, Carolina's better than
I think
everybody.
Arizona's better than New England. But, that's
but
just
is, are they?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know.
Did you watch New England for the last month of the season? They were freaking terrible, dude. They were as bad as the Packers were.
I know. I said this last week.
I know. That's my point.
I'm just saying. All I right. still don't know, though.
Okay. Let's just say. March to Arizona, get a win. Period.
Yes.
That's it.
And?
How about that? How about that? How about we go with that?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Well, that's what we're going with.
All right. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank our very special guest, Tyron Matthew of the Arizona Cardinals, as well as anyone who connected with us on the live chat. You guys are really why we do this. You're why we're here. Corey and I will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Go, Pack, go.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that? Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay, I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.